Open source software is a big improvement. To keep it open, everyone has to accept one or another license before she starts working with the special piece of it. It's a small thing when you're a private person, but imagine you're a legal person, maybe a big company with several thousand employees. How to deal with the mix of all the licenses, the GNU-GPL, the BSD license, Apache's license, or even Creative Commons. How to guarantee that all employees will stick to all of those licenses the company accepted for the use of the one or another open source software. This is the topic of the next lecture. The Deutsche Telekom AG started an open source project involving the Creative Commons license. Yeah, and it aims to create an open source license compendium which should consolidate reliable background knowledge about, which should offer an easy to use finder around, and an offer to-do lists for working with those presented licenses. This lecture is not presented, as it is mentioned in the plan, from Carsten Reinke. Instead, please welcome Craig Sharp.
Thank you. So, g'day. So, my name is Craig Sharp, so I'm working with Deutsche Telekom, and I'd like to introduce one of our projects, which is creating an open source license compendium. So before we come to that, I'd like to just cover how we, or some models for managing commercial licenses, why this might not apply for open source, and then some different strategies, including what Deutsche Telekom is doing here. So if we look at commercial license management, I think we can fairly simply say that we follow the process of finding what commercial software we're using. Then we count up how many times we're using it. So this might be number of users, maybe number of computers, maybe number of processes, depending on the license agreement. Then compare this against what we have paid for. And then at the end of the day, we just see if we need more licenses, pay more money. If we need less licenses, then we're lucky and we can maybe save some money. But this is kind of inappropriate for open source software, because with open source, you're not really paying for the right to use the software. You don't pay money. And if we take a look at the OSI, open source definition, we can see that the license shall not restrict any party from selling or giving away the software as a component of an aggregate software distribution containing programs from several different sources. And now the interesting part, the license shall not require a royalty or other fee for such sale. So basically, this is saying that in order to gain the right to use the software or to modify it or distribute it, you are not required to give any money. So instead, there's this concept of paying by doing. So rather than paying money to gain the rights, you pay by doing some tasks, so in order to fulfill the obligations of the license. So this can be a bit challenging, because if we look at the OSI website, there's at least 69 different open source licenses, and for each of these licenses, the obligations may change depending on the context. So if you're just using it, if you're modifying and distribute, or put onto a server, for each of these different contexts, different obligations may apply. And if we do some mathematics and just say 69 licenses, assume just 5 different contexts, then this gives you at least 345 different combinations. So different ways you can fulfill your open source license obligations. So a bit of a challenge. So I guess if we look at the model for managing open source licenses and how it differs from commercial licenses, I think we begin with the same step, so finding what open source software we're using or that we've received, then determine how we are using it, so not just counting, but determining, are we just using it, are we modifying it, are we giving it away? And then describe what the obligations are. So what steps do we need to take in order to meet these obligations? And then finally, execute this, so actually do these tasks. So this leads to an important question of who shall do this. And I think in a big company such as Deutsche Telekom, this is quite important, because firstly, we want to make sure we meet the open source license obligations. But it also affects the cost, because we're a big company, we produce lots of software, we use lots of open source software, so we need to invest a lot of time and effort into doing this process. And I think if we look at a few different models for how this can be achieved, and just begin with the basic one, which is just hoping someone is doing this, So essentially, you're developing something, you just hope someone is meeting the license obligations, but this is naturally quite bad because it shows disdain for the open source license and its conditions. It creates disorder and disturbs the developer because they just want to write good code, but now they have to do all this legal stuff, read all this license text, work out what they're doing, what they need to do. And it's a bit dangerous because maybe no one is doing this job or someone is doing it, they think they're doing it right, but they're actually doing it incorrectly. So a better approach is to delegate this. So within your project, maybe you have one person who is a dedicated expert. And this kind of helps because it shows respect for the open source license. You have someone who is actually dedicated to ensuring that conditions are met. It still creates some disorder because developers have these extra steps still to work out what needs to be done, talk to the people. And it's expensive because not only do you have to hire developers, you have to hire someone to do this open source job, and they have to be an expert, and if they're not, they need to be trained, and that's expensive. And they also have to do the job, and that's expensive too. So if we take this one step further and say that as a company, why don't we centralize this job? So rather than every project managing their own open source, maybe we can have a group of experts that do this for us. And I think this is much better because it shows as a company as a whole that you're respecting open source. It improves the quality because this group of experts, rather than just knowing one project, they see a wider range of projects and get much broader experience and therefore can give much better advice. And it's kind of reduces the costs because if you have 10 projects, then of course you don't need 10 people, maybe one or two or three can take this. But if we take this one step further and we say, well, we don't want to centralize within the company, but why not collaborate with the community as a whole? So instead of every company having their own set of experts, maybe this knowledge can be based in the community instead. And of course this is much better quality because you're taking advice from a much wider pool. And you save money because every company, especially small companies, don't have to invest this time and effort. So at Deutsche Telekom, we've decided that a good mix would be between the third and the fourth, so to centralize and also collaborate. On the centralized side, we've decided to set up an open source review board, so basically a group of experts coming from different departments, such as engineering, intellectual property management, from legal. And together they form this review board, which is approachable by anyone within the company who has a question or needs advice about open source. So the process is meant to be quite simple to enable developers to ask a question, get the answer, and get back on with their work. So we begin with, for example, a developer coming up to the review board saying, I want to use this flashy piece of open source software into my mobile application. The review board will then nominate one member who will be the sponsor, and this sponsor is responsible for analyzing and describing the case and providing an initial answer. So in this case, they may talk to the developer, find out a bit more, like, are you just using it? Are you going to modify it? Who are you distributing it to? And then from this, they'll come up with the list of obligations and also the steps that the developer needs to take in order to meet these obligations. So I think from this point, the developers got in their hand exactly what they need to go forward, so they know what steps they need to take, and they can make a decision that, are these obligations appropriate to my project? If so, then I can do it. If not, then I can look for an alternative. But in parallel, the open source review board will meet, review the case, review the answer, so all the experts getting together to discuss this, and then review if the initial answer is correct. If not, then maybe add some information. If so, then accept it. And get this final answer back to the developer, and at this point they can be fully confident that if they follow these steps, then they've met their open source license obligations. So the idea is that the initial step should take about 2 or 3 days, so the developer is not really disrupted, and then the final step should be within a couple of weeks after the next meeting, and if there are any changes, then there's still time to react. So one thing we found, though, is that when we get questions, we generally get the same or similar questions over and over. And if we look at this from a Pareto perspective, we could say that 80% of the questions we get could be answered by a small handful of similar or repeating answers. So we're thinking, Wouldn't it be better to actually enable employees to answer these simple questions themselves without being disruptive, losing quality, or causing extra cost? So basically without disrupting the development process or other people, without losing quality of answers, so ensuring that the advice is still correct, and without generating extra cost for hiring lots of people to take care of this. So the idea we had was to create an open source license compendium. So basically a reference which developers could go to, find the sample answers, and then know what they need to do. And our mission is to support our developers to use open source software in the correct manner. And our guiding motto is to offer one reliable way for each license and each use case in a simple and easy to find manner. So I think for a lot of licenses, there are some use cases where maybe there's some discussion as to what's really allowed. So if you look at the license text and interpret it in one way, maybe you can get away with some obligations. Or if you kind of twist your development process and change how you do things, and maybe you can skip obligations that way. But we don't want to look into those discussions. We want to just focus on looking at the letter of the license, looking at the intention of the license, and saying from a very simple perspective, based on what we see in front of us, the simple way forward is if you do this, this, and this, then you can be certain that you've met your license obligations. So I guess to make this useful, it really has to be easy to use for developers. So we came up with this concept of a finder. So basically a developer would open the reference, come to the license they're looking for, then follow a simple tree structure to identify their use case. So if we follow this tree structure, it might be I'm using this open source, I'm going to make some changes, and then I'm going to distribute it and run it onto a publicly accessible server. So by following this tree, we can come up to a certain use case. And from this use case, we can then jump to a to-do list. And if the developer follows this to-do list, then they can be fairly confident that they've met the open source license obligations. But we'd also like to make this useful for other people. So we've got room for text for some background information, maybe for some discussions if there's some interesting things like patents or other factors. So this could then be useful for people with legal background or people who are just interested to learn more about open source. But the key thing we want to focus on is enabling developers to quickly and easily answer their open source questions. So the finder is really the key aspect here. So I think on this slide, we just have some sample use cases. So if a developer came to the finder, they could end up with a use case such as just using open source, using it and then modifying it, putting it onto a server, linking a library, so forth. So these are the kind of use cases which would then lead to a to-do list for every license. And from this to-do list, the developer can then be confident that they've met their obligations. So the other idea we had was that we are writing this compendium, so why don't we issue it free under open source? So we've decided to publish this under the Creative Commons Share Alike license. So it is publicly accessible on GitHub, open for people to contribute. And we've decided to use a LaTeX, BibTeX encoding. So this kind of aids in development because if anyone wants to edit one section, they don't affect the development on the other sections. And it's possible to publish in various formats. So the LaTeX includes all the formatting information. So if a developer likes it on a web page, for example, then it's easy to generate. Maybe a printed book or a PDF or an e-reader is preferred. So you can always generate these different formats with little effort. So at the moment, we're fairly young stage. So we've made an initial release. And this is just containing a lot of background information and some templates. And we're currently working on the milestone release, which will contain the finder and the to-do list for at least two licenses. And we expect this to be ready by end of June, so fairly soon. So I guess just to recap, at Deutsche Telekom, we think it's very important to manage open source licenses correctly, to show respect, and just also to make developers' life easier. So to this effect, we've created a centralized approach, having an internal open source review board where developers can ask the question very quickly to get the easy-to-use steps. But we want to reduce the workload for the review board so they can focus on the more complex cases. And to this effect, we've started writing an open source license compendium, so a reference where developers can use a simple finder, find the use case, find their to-do list, execute it, and be confident they've met their open source license obligations. So again, we're fairly early stages, but by end of June, we should have the first release available. So that will be two licenses and to-do lists. And I guess in the spirit of open source, we've decided to publish early and publish often. So I think if this is interesting for you, I encourage you to take a look at our website. So I think this one's easier, oslic.org, so open sources license compendium.org. And you'll find some background information. You can take a look at the initial release. If you're interested, you can also contribute. So just like to say thanks for your time and attention and see if there's any questions. Yep, in the back.
I come. I come with a microphone, sorry.
Thank you. Do you already have some use cases online, or are they still need to get filled?
Not at the moment. So online, we have the framework and some background information. But by end of June, we'll have the finder and to-do list for at least two licenses.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, no worries. So, any other questions?
Do you plan on adding information about combining different licenses in an aggregate product?
Yep, I think that's something we want to add as the kind of contextual information. So the initial information we want to provide is just the simple finder, what's your use case, can you embed this? And then around this, for every license, have some kind of discussion as to what the compatibilities are, what the issues are. So we have room for that. More questions? Cool. So I guess if you have any more questions coming up later, you can check out our website or also feel free to email me and I can provide some support. So thanks a lot for your time.
Are you on Linux Nacht tonight?
Sorry?
Are you on Linux Nacht tonight? One on the poster over there?
Okay. I just came here this morning, so I haven't checked it out yet, but it sounds interesting.
I tell you because you jumped in for your colleague. But you should know, maybe you should go there, and there will be another nice talks about different things.
Cool. Yep, check that out. And if you have any questions at the Linux night, maybe you can provide a more interesting answer.
Okay, thank you for your...
Thanks a lot.